keep seeing celebrities posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly, you don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there, it's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now.
Every 20 minutes, a child is diagnosed with a critical illness, but today is all about restoring hope for those families. The best part is the entire process is tailored for each child. And today, we're chatting with Make-A-Wish Arizona, and their CEO, Fran Malice, is here to join me. Good morning.
Good morning. We love to talk about joy and hope.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that spin on it too, right? Like there's no woe is me. This is a celebration of the child.
That's correct. And I think one of the things that we always love to share, and I don't think there's a day that goes by that most people actually think we are a terminally ill organization. But here is, we talk about goodness and joy and hope. 70% of our children actually outlive their diagnosis now. So when you think about that, right? You think about that in modern medicine and everything that's going on, that is such an incredible thing. And if we had one message to get out, you know, in terms of that, that's a really strong one for us to make sure that everyone knows about that. And we want to make sure every eligible child in Arizona absolutely can get a wish granted. Yeah. That's our vision, you know, and that's our mission. So
Would you say that hope plays a big piece of that, and hope for the future and looking forward past whatever they're dealing with right now?
It does, because what we hear, you know, anecdotally from our kids directly, their families, that the time that they have a wish is typically the time that they need it most. Mm-hmm. And parents, siblings have said, if they didn't have this wish in front of them for whatever it is, whether it's to go to Disney World or to have a room redone, or to, you know, be a pickle factory worker, or whatever their wish could be, that's the things that get them to look forward to the future. And they are able to, you know, make sure they can go to their doctor's appointments. And then they make sure that they take their medicine because they want to be well enough to be able to do that, you know, especially if it's a trip or anything. So they have enough energy to make sure that that can happen. So it truly is that spirit of making sure that that can happen. And it is very, very special. And it's very fun, particularly meeting with the kids and hearing what their really true wish could be.
Yeah. And I love that it's tailored. Each process is tailored to each child. Can you talk about what that looks like?
Sure. Yeah. We call it our wish journey. And the first thing that we do is we kind of onboard our kids and their families. And we talk to them about, we call it our discovery phase. And what we do is we really get to know the child. And we typically do it without their parents. You know, their parents can be in the background, but we really want to hear from them. What are your favorite things that are important to you? You know, what type of candy do you like? What kind of snacks do you like? You know, what's your favorite color? You know, what are the things that you like to do with your friends? So once we get to know them and make them comfortable, then we can start asking questions like, well, is there someone you'd like to meet? Or is there someone that you'd want to, you know, wish to be? Or is there some place you'd like to travel to? Those are the type of things that are really, really fun as you're interviewing, if you will, and getting to know those children. Because you do, in a very short period of time, really get to understand, you know, who they are and what would really make them happy and bring joy to them. And a lot of them like to think about their families, too. There's a particular one that probably got me really involved in Make-A-Wish. My first wish that I was ever exposed to was a wish to give. And that was a child. It was a 15-year-old boy who at that time had a brain tumor. And his wish was to give his wish to his teacher, his math teacher. His math teacher wasn't able to do the things that he wanted to do for his family for the holidays, for Christmas. And he said, you know what? He has been so incredible for me, tutoring and really helping me think about what I want to do in the future as well, that he said, my wish is to give that family, you know, Christmas. So for me, like a 15-year-old boy who, you know, very selfless, and it gives you goosebumps, and it makes you think about how giving a child can be in that respect. And I think that's what, for me, did it with my first, you know, kind of impression with Make-A-Wish, which particularly, you know, for a mission moment when we get to talk to a kid like that. So pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. And how does a family qualify to be granted a wish, or how would they even find you?
Yeah, so they qualify if they have a medical condition that is life-threatening. And there is a whole medical advisory board that we vet all of our kids through. So there's a process where they go online, or they can be referred by a doctor, they can be referred by a social worker, they can refer themselves, they can have a parent or a sibling refer them. And then it goes through a process where their diagnosis goes through the medical advisory. And then at that point, if it's something that is life-threatening and it's approved, they immediately get a call for what that, you know, what that can look like for them. And it's pretty fun. I've listened in on a couple of calls when you call a family and say, we want to grant you a wish. Congratulations. And then the process starts.
Yeah. And so then you dive into the interviews and,
our discovery phase. Yeah. And then what's fun too, is that, you know, we don't necessarily have a wish granted immediately, because there's so much that goes into it. And then of course, depending on the medical condition, especially if there's a child that is traveling, we have to make sure they are well enough to travel, or whatever the case might be for their individual circumstance. But then we do what are called boosts. So for example, if someone says, I want to meet a particular, you know, baseball player, and we can't make that happen because we have to go through a celebrity team at Make-A-Wish America, then we have an opportunity to make sure that we can get all that done. It doesn't happen overnight. So because the process can take up to a year, we like to make sure that along the way, our wish granters have little boosts that they get the child really excited and their family. So they might send him, if it's a baseball player, and they might send him, you know, maybe a thermos or something that has his favorite team on it, or, you know, something along the way to keep in touch with them, to keep them excited about knowing that they're going to be, a wish is going to be granted.
Okay. So they know it's coming. They just don't know at what point.
Exactly. And they keep in touch with our wish granters, typically at least once a month or so, whatever the communication with the family. So they know, but that little boost keeps it going and gets them excited to know that it's coming hopefully sooner than later. Yeah. And right now we have almost 600 kids waiting for a wish. So that's the exciting part of that, is we have so many more that we know we can take care of and ultimately grant a wish for. And we are celebrating this year. Our fiscal year ended the end of August, and we've had a record-breaking year. We granted 424 wishes. So it's pretty darn exciting. And I don't know if you know that we started in 1980. So we are celebrating 43 years, and it all started here in Arizona.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it all started here with a little boy named Chris Gracious, who wanted to be a police officer. And it's pretty wild. I think a lot of people don't know that it actually started here, right here in our backyard.
Yeah. How did that come together, that very first wish?
It came together because Linda, his mom, had been going to Scottsdale Community College. And one of her teachers, her professors, had been tutoring her. And they happened to be over at her house, and her husband happened to either be a police officer or a DPS officer. And Chris had a love of all types of things that were anything police, you know, oriented or related. And they became friends. And then as Chris, unfortunately, was diagnosed with leukemia and started to not feel great and go through all of his treatments, they said, what would bring joy and hope to him? And they realized that he had the power to maybe make something magical happen, like have him be a police officer for a day. And the rest is history. So in Arizona alone, we've already surpassed 7,500 wishes. We believe we'll be close to 8,000 wishes by the time our fiscal ends next year, just in Arizona. And this phenomenon is all over the world. So right. We have 58 chapters around the country. There's 40 countries that are wish granting. So it's incredible. There's 550,000 wishes that have been granted around the world.
Wow. And I guess I didn't realize that it was international.
Yes. And it's interesting because we are co-located with Make-A-Wish America. They are actually here because it all started here. International used to be located here a few years ago. And now it moved, I think a few years ago, maybe either right before or after COVID, it moved to Amsterdam. So it's happening everywhere around the world.
That's pretty cool. And it's everything from a trip to meeting a celebrity to room renovations or a backyard. What is the biggest, like,
if you can think it up, if you can think it up, and we can obviously make sure that it fits within the guidelines and all of that, we want to do it.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of like the most requested or themes that you've seen?
Yeah, I think the most requested is definitely Disney World, because there is an organization called Give Kids the World, and that is where all of the Wish Kids stay. It is a dedicated property, I would say community. I think it's something like 85 acres. Wow. We had an opportunity to go visit there. And it's unbelievable. You get to have the opportunity to stay in your own little house. It's almost like a master plan community. They can have ice cream for breakfast. there's all kinds of things to do. So we like to always say, you know, you got to make sure you keep that tradition when you go home. Chase, it's very close to the parks or at Disney World. So there's all kinds of things, but that's probably the most that in terms of travel the kids ask for. You know, obviously there's been like Bahamas where they go to Atlantis because of the slides, a lot of shopping sprees, particularly, you know, during COVID, because you could buy things over the internet. So we could still pull off doing shopping sprees. And a lot of our kids, you know, really haven't even traveled. Some of them haven't even been on an airplane. And if you get an opportunity to do a send off at the airport with American Airlines or Southwest, or, you know, it's pretty incredible how they feel walking through the airport and being celebrated, and then getting to go on the plane early and getting snacks. And then it's just so fun for the family too. And that's the one thing I think that, you know, kind of an aha that I think a lot of us realize too, particularly working here, is that it not only impacts the child, but the siblings, particularly the experience that they go through with their family, particularly depending on what the treatment is and how the community or you know, rallies around the family, is very, very, very special.
Yeah. And that sibling element is so important, because when all of the focus is on the child that's undergoing treatment, you know, you hear more and more, and there's more research being done that like the other sibling starts to fall into the background, fall by the wayside, behavioral issues start popping up. So making them feel special too is just as important.
Well, this will be kind of a fun story that'll make you, I think, feel very, you know, very really good about just kids in general and life in general. We had a Wish kid come through a couple of weeks ago with his mom and dad, and he's 5 years old, and we have a toy closet. And we said, you can pick anything you want out of here. And the first thing that he did is he said, I have a little brother who's only 3. This is a 5-year-old. Yeah. And he goes, can I take something for him? So, you know, and he wanted to do that first. And that's the spirit, I think, that we see a lot, that they're going through everything that they're going through, but they're still thinking about, you know, their family or their siblings. And I don't know, it was just, it really, I think for us, it was just another special moment, because we want to make sure we are always thinking about the siblings too. And, you know, obviously want to have little things for them so that they feel like they're just as important, you know, as that Wish kid too, because you're either the big or the little brother or sister. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a big component too, I think, of the healing process as well, as they come together as a family.
It really is. And I feel like kids are so blunt sometimes, you know, even when they don't mean to, but we can learn so much from them. What have you learned from interacting with these kids and even just giving hope and what hope means? What have you learned from these experiences?
I think what we've learned is, and we probably already knew it innately, is just the positivity, right? They're kids, you know, a lot of times they're consoling their parents or, you know, a sibling. They're going through it, but they really do believe that, you know, there is going to be hope and joy for them. And we believe the power of a wish allows that to happen. So I think just that positivity and them knowing that, you know, they're going to go do something really fun and that they're going to be just normal, even just for a week or just for, you know, a moment's time. I think that normalcy really does make a difference. And I think that's what we've learned, is that power of the wish truly does allow for it to happen. And it is always at the time where they need it most.
Yeah. How are the wishes granted? How are you able to do that both financially, and what does the team look like that's pulling off this wish? Yeah.
So we would say that it takes a village, mm-hmm. because right, the community gets involved, but we do have wish granters on our team. And that's pretty exciting. And they do handle the majority of it, but our volunteers also help. So we have over 500 volunteers statewide that come in and help us, as well as pretty much the full team. Even though we do have dedicated wish granters, everyone does typically kind of jump in and help with a wish. The average wish cost is $10,000. So we are always obviously fundraising. But I think one of the things also that most don't know about us is that we don't receive any government funding. We are 100% philanthropy drawn. So that's an important piece. We do not have the ability to get tax credits yet. So we would say we are a necessity. So we are going to continue to go down that path. But, you know, it's really important that, you know, everything that we do raise truly goes toward granting a wish. And our wish granters are incredible, our wish managers. And they probably on any given year, well, I would say any given time, they're managing somewhere between 50 and 75 wishes at a time.
Wow. That's why
volunteerism is so important to us, because we have to utilize the community and the generosity of all of our donors, volunteers. We have an incredible board of directors that are really engaged and actively involved. I mean, we are truly, really very, very grateful and very happy to have all of the help that we get.
Mm-hmm. It really does take a village, even from raising one kid.
Yeah, 20% of a wish is provided through in-kind. So when you think about that, where we don't have to write a check, that's an important piece of, you know, our business model and making sure that we can really do every wish and have it be a really special opportunity and also experience for our kids.
Mm-hmm. And the community contacts that you all must have to keep at any given time, a backyard renovation takes much different contacts than a trip.
You wouldn't believe how difficult it is to get cement or, you know, for a backyard or, you know, but again, the generosity of the community and it's true, the contacts you make and, but everyone, for the most part, you know, when you think of, you know, helping a child, right, and making a wish come true, who doesn't want to be part of that?
Right. And you probably know a lot more about construction than you ever thought you'd need to know.
More than I probably ever want to admit to you. So I would say our wish managers definitely know a lot more. And it's funny that you say that. I mean, we've actually gotten them some additional, you know, training in terms of, you know, that type of thing that they have to really know what to look for and what to ask for. And we've been very fortunate, you know, a few of our board members have come in and educated us as well on, you know, how do we do, you know, project management and, you know, how do we do this kind of stuff? So, but it's good. It's good for everybody to be able to have, you know, additional learnings and opportunities to do more.
Yeah. Resume builder.
Yeah, exactly. And even for themselves individually, like how to put tile down and how to, you know, do all kinds of things and build furniture, you know? So when we think about even our corporate partners that come in, they're building furniture, you know, they're writing thank you cards for Thursday. Thank you. You know, thank-a-thons. They're, you know, putting bicycles together, all kinds of stuff. So it's fun.
Yeah. What was it that first drew you to the organization? And how did you get into your role? I know that once you were at the Wish, you were hooked, but what got you to that point?
So it was kind of a fun journey. I got invited by a colleague at Cox to go to a Wish ball. Mm-hmm. And I left there saying, I have to get involved. I have to figure out a way that I can volunteer. So it started with volunteerism, you know, just helping out on a wish. That was really, truly how I started. And then I was so fortunate that working for Cox Communications, you know, having the ability to be on the board after the person who had taken me to the wish ball with her term was up. And she's like, well, do you think you might want to get involved even more? I'm like, yes. So I got to interview with, you know, the CEO at the time. And we went to lunch and I started crying. And I think that's what sold it for her when she started telling me stories that, you know, of all the Wish kids. And the rest is history. I was on the board for 6 years and from Cox. And then when the CEO said that she was going to be retiring, I thought, gosh, maybe this is an opportunity, you know, to think about what that next chapter for me is. And I fell in love. And I had been on a lot of boards throughout my career, and they all touched me in different ways. But there was something that really connected with me with kids, and especially with Wish Kids. And having that, you know, just being able to come here and work full time doing this, it's hard to explain or to put, you know, to express, but it truly is, you know, getting up in the morning. And I loved getting up in the morning and going to work and being in the media industry, but this is different,
you know,
even more special. And then putting your head on the pillow at night, knowing that you actually made a difference in a child's life. And we, you know, you did that through community service and all that kind of thing, but there's nothing like it. It's the best. And I think it's just the passion. And it's funny, I was talking with a former boss of mine, and she had asked me what I wanted to be doing in 5 years. And she said, it doesn't have to be within Cox. And I said, I think someday I want to run Make-A-Wish in Arizona.
So specific. There you are.
That. And here we are. So you put it in the universe and look what happens.
Yeah, I'm big in the universe.
Me too.
And I always just like to hear the stories of those that are running an organization, and just as individuals and your background, what would you say to a young female or even a young male, anyone that is listening to this or watching you in the community that hopes to one day be a CEO for a nonprofit? What advice would you give them?
Get involved in the community, give back. Make sure that you're doing something for someone else, really all the time, and I think for me, I've had great mentors throughout the years, and they've always said, try to do something every day. And my parents were like this too. We were, very involved at a young age, and you try to also instill that in your own children. We have two girls that are now 29 and 26, which I cannot believe. And they, you just start young in terms of saying, not everyone has the ability to have things that others don't. Mm-hmm. And we take that for granted. And, I feel like if you can just start with volunteering and really get involved and see what it's like for others and look at it through others' filters and eyes of especially kids, then, that's truly what life's all about. So I would just say, get involved, do something, don't sit back, take that extra time that maybe you're sitting on the couch and you're, watching something on Netflix or whatever the case might be, or anything, or just get involved, take the time. And what you will realize is that when you took that time, it will pay so many dividends for you, because the feeling that you have when you walk away from doing something like that, there's nothing like that.
You're right.
That really makes you, again, and make sure that as you grow and you have families, make sure you do the same thing. And if we can continue that, you're always going to have, goodness in the world, right? I mean, one kid at a time, one person at a time. I really believe that we can make a difference for generations to come.
Your passion really shines through too. Like, it feels good to be around you.
Well, you too. I love it. I love talking with you. I'll talk about this all day long.
I know. Man, our time is already coming up, but yes, we'll definitely have to schedule another chat.
I would love that. Please.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what is on the horizon for Make-A-Wish, and then how can the community get involved?
So we have definitely signed up for 450 wishes this year. Yeah. So we're super excited that we have a pretty ambitious revenue goal as well, because that's what's going to help us continue to grant wishes. And we would love to obviously have anyone involved that would love to volunteer. But we're super excited. And the biggest thing that we have on our plate is to make sure that we are really serving the underserved communities. So we have just hired additional team in Southern Arizona. So we want to make sure that we are covering the entire state. We are also, and we've just hired 4 bilingual employees statewide as well. So we want to make sure that we're talking to everyone who potentially is eligible for a wish. And that is a really big focus for this year. Strategically, we want to make sure we're really going into the communities that truly are underserved and making sure to tell our story in terms of what that looks like. They may not even know about the opportunity to have a wish. Yeah. So again, our vision is to make sure every single eligible child can be granted a wish. And that's what we really want to make happen. And we want that to be sustainable forever, right? We don't ever want to have a possibility where we can't keep granting wishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pickleball is coming up in December.
Pickleball's coming up. So there's a December 1st, we have a pickleball tournament with one of our amazing board members that's coordinating that. And the biggest event of all, of course, is next year on March 9th. We have the Wish Ball. It's going to a new venue. It's going to be at Chase Stadium. So we're super excited about that. Our partnership with the Diamondbacks has been incredible. And just to give a little plug for Derek Hall, not only was he a former chair of the local chapter in Arizona, he is the national chair of Make-A-Wish.
Good so for him.
What fantastic opportunity to have, you know, Derek and the team and have it at Chase. And I think we're going to call it like Field of Wishes or something fun like that. So you're hearing it here first. So
breaking.
But there's that. But yeah, so that's our biggest event of the year. And we would love, love, love. We'll have plenty of space because we've got the stadium to bring people in and get them to see the spirit and meet all the Wish kids. And it's an incredible night. It truly is magical, particularly because our MCs are Wish kids.
Oh, that's awesome. That's super fun. And all of that is found on your website.
It is wish.org/Arizona.
wish.org/Arizona. Go there, find out all the details, join us, fun. Fran, thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
All right, I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
I keep seeing celebrities posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly. You don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is refreshing!
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.